Welcome to the Gospel Rain Podcast, part of the teaching ministry of Dr. Matt Brown and Dr. Micah Carter. We're glad you've joined us today for gospel-centered conversations of two like-minded pastors who want to see the gospel of Christ reign in the hearts of God's people. We would love to hear your feedback and your questions. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/gospelrain or go to @gospelrain on Twitter. We hope you will find gospel-centered answers to your questions about theology and the Christian life. And now, we welcome you to the Gospel Rain Conversation.
Welcome to another episode of Gospel Rain. We're excited that you're back with us today. Micah, I've got a very important question for you today.
Okay.
Let me ask it this way. Is church membership really necessary? Can I not just worship on my own without being part of an organized religion? Mm. And I know you've heard that before. I've heard that question before, too, by people who you may meet in the community, you bring up church with them, try to share the gospel with them or whatever, and inevitably you find people that will say, well, yeah, I'm a church member, but I don't go, or I don't think it's necessary to go. And we have members on our church rolls, mm-hmm. that they would say member, but they don't attend. And obviously they just don't think it's that important. So the question I'm asking you, and we're going to talk about today, is it really necessary?
You know, I find this a really fascinating question. On the one hand, because you see so many people that are as faithful as the sunrise and sunset, and they wouldn't miss an opportunity to come to church if their life depended upon it. And then you, as you described, there are some that, you know, could really kind of care less about coming at all. And so what do you do with that? Well, you know, I think probably the first way I would approach this is to say that salvation is not dependent upon church membership. I want to be very careful in what I mean by that. You're not saved by having your name on a church roll. You're saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, saved by Christ.
That's right.
Having said that, you know, church membership is not a work that gets you into heaven, I guess is what we're trying to say. But having said that, if you are saved, there are some biblical images and some biblical themes and data in the New Testament that indicates that it's really unusual for someone to be a Christian and not tied to a local body of believers known as the church.
Right.
Meaning, if you're saved, you're united with Christ by faith. You're united to Him. And as being part of Him, the way the New Testament describes it is you're now a part of His body, a living organism of the body of Christ. That's one of the images of the church in the New Testament. So if He's the head and we are the body, then how is that going to function that you say you're saved, you belong to Christ, but you're essentially lopped off from the body, which indicates death. Same thing with vine and branches in John 15, another image that if we are organically connected to Christ now by faith, if we remove ourselves from the vine, if you will, how are we demonstrating we have life at all? The bride of Christ. I mean, we could go on and on and on with images to say that if we belong to Christ, then we are vitally connected to His body, His people, in such a way that is a non-negotiable for what it means to be the church. Would you add on that any?
Well, yeah, I don't necessarily want to add to that. I think what I'm finding as a pastor is that there are many who maybe have never been taught the importance of church membership. It's a sort of become an expectation. It's just something that you do, right? If I'm going to be a Christian, then I need to join a church. Or if I want my life to get better, whatever the motivation might be, then I want to be a part of a church, but may have never been discipled as to why that's important to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it necessary that you are part of a church? What is there something that would tie me there? Is there something that ought to get, I should have a certain conviction about, mm-hmm. that I need to be there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people were, you know, our age, I know there are people that were brought up, with, as people have said before, with a drug problem, you know,
yeah.
They were drugged to church everywhere, you know, every Sunday.
Yeah.
And some people, as we say, are there every time the doors are open, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you talked about, there are people here all the time at church, and they're doing this and they're doing that, and they're serving on in this capacity. But then you have others who say, you know, that's fine for them, that's good for them, but I don't, that's not for me. I'm a church member, but I don't want to get involved in all those ways. I've got other things to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've got I've got a job, I got a life, I got kids, I got whatever, and so I'm just not interested in getting involved as some other people are, and that's fine for them.
Yeah.
So I think that's the attitude among some, is that I can be a church member without any strings attached, right? I can have my name on a roll, and as long as my name is there on the roll, on the church membership rolls, then that's what I need, but I want to do that without any strings. I don't want any responsibility. I don't want anybody telling me that I need to do something or that I have a certain responsibility.
Yeah.
So that they're, you know, we just sort of want to have membership with no strings.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a number of church members are. And I, you know, as a pastor, that's a struggle. I mean, that's a struggle because you, you understand you don't want it to become a legalistic thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to make people feel like you have to be here every Sunday in order to be saved.
Right.
You know, I mean, you don't want
right.
to make it a legalistic thing. But on the other side, there's a real, as you have said already, there's a real importance to being a part of the body of Christ. Now, you said that Paul mentions things like a body and a bride and that kind of stuff. Explain a little bit more about what that even matters to a common church member, that they're part of the body. What is Paul meaning when he talks about the body?
Even the way you set it up about the no strings attached idea. Man, just imagine if you and I got married 20 years ago, which we did, to our wives.
Be clear
and yet
about this.
We act as if there are no strings attached to this relationship, to this covenant.
Right.
So, you're my wife, but I'm going to go sleep around wherever I want to, and I'm going to go, spend all this money, whatever. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
it doesn't work.
Or you're
like
my
that.
Wife, and I don't really care to spend time with you.
Exactly.
I don't want to be around you.
Yep.
I don't want to have a responsibility here.
Yep.
I just want to say that we're married.
Yeah,
right?
That's exactly right. So you're looking at that, and I think that's part of why this image is so important for membership. And the no strings attached, and I think it's important on the one hand to speak with some clarity and some encouragement. You know, for someone that actually would say that and mean that, to me, it just smells like the kind of pride that is the condemnation of the devil. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. You know, you're not accountable. I'm not accountable to you. And frankly, the encouragement on the other side of that is this. The New Testament does not allow for a no strings attached policy when it comes to church membership. Why do I say that? Well, if you look at the book of Acts and all of the Pauline letters, what do you find? You find a church, a gathering, a local gathering of Christians around the gospel of Jesus that have leadership, they have service with one another, they care for each other, they are accountable for things. I mean, even as early as Acts chapter 5, some people sold some land and they were going to give money and they lied to the leadership and God killed them.
That's right.
Now, I'm not advocating necessarily for that in our churches, but man, it's serious, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so the way you see the Lord adding to the church is the theme of the book. The Lord is adding to the number of the church daily, it seems, but is doing it in such a way that they share around some common, you know, activities, themes, and whatever. And so the whole process of discipleship is tied into why this is important. Can someone be a member of a church and be saved and don't come? I'd say yes. But the difficulty with that is their spiritual life is going to be so atrophied.
Absolutely.
Their discipleship is going to be so negligent. They're going to literally be almost truly spiritual infancy. I don't know how that they could grow. It's not to say that they're not reading their Bible or praying or whatever, but the way that the Lord has established the fruitfulness of an individual Christian and his or her growth is organically tied to a local gathering of other Christians, temple of the Spirit, the bride of Christ, the people of God, okay? That is where, that's the fertile soil of our growth.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who will say, you know, I listen to preaching at home, right? So I can sit at home and I can listen to preaching on TV. And yeah, there is some preaching on TV. There's a lot of bad preaching on TV, that's for sure.
Yeah.
There's some maybe that's okay. But yeah, I can listen to preaching on TV and that's all the church that I need and that kind of thing. But what they're missing is the element of the body. You can't be a body on your own, right? So
that's right.
The way I explain it normally when I preach is what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is that we're the body, meaning that that some are a hand and some are a foot, some are a knee and an elbow, but we all fit some sort of some part in the body.
Yeah.
And without that part cooperating together with the rest of the body malfunctions. The body can't function the way it's designed to function. So, yeah you can sit at home and listen to good preaching.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But the element that you're missing is the part of needing to be with another group of people that you can operate together with as a body.
Yes.
You can do your part. They will do their part. You can encourage them. They will encourage you. And you may not feel like you need that. And some people will say, well, I don't need all that. Well, you may not feel like you need all that, but I think that's where what you talked about is that if they don't have that,
mm-hmm.
they're missing a component of their spiritual walk that's going to leave them in infancy. They're
right.
not going to be able to grow like the body should mm-hmm. without that element of being together with other people.
And I think we can be and should be as strong as early church father named Kyprian, his famous statement that says, if you don't have the church for your mother, you don't have God for your father.
Hmm.
It is that important and vital and essential to what it means to be a follower, disciple of Christ. Now, that's and I don't mean to say that membership saves you. And Kyprian went off into some weird stuff, and it's been taken by Catholics a different way and everything else. But on the other hand, I think it should say that's true, and the reason why is because God knows that your growth is wrapped up in, you know, the fellowship of the church and participation. Now, the second part of your question is, can I worship by myself? Can I worship without some organized expression of religion or whatever the case may be? The answer is I expect you to. I expect you to be home, you know, in family worship with your kids, reading scripture, praying. Let me tell you something, man. One of the spiritual moments I had was in Canada, standing in the Banff, you know, Canadian Rockies in Banff, just looking over God's creation, thinking, God, you made this, and I was worshiping. But those things are not meant to be, you're not meant to just change the whole dynamic of what it means to worship. That might be an exception to
right,
the rule.
Right. That's part of your worship, but
it is.
You cannot substitute that.
It's not a substitute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And so, you know, you've heard the old adage where somebody said, well, I can worship even better on a bass fishing boat than I can sitting here with you idiots and hypocrites. Well, maybe once in a while, but the way that God has set it up for us is in His wisdom that we who have been redeemed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, though we might be hypocrites and idiots, that it is our common confession.
That's right.
And as you put it, the body is meant to function as an organic whole. And the truth is that the Spirit gifts the church with certain people, with certain gifts, according to His will, the Bible says. And boy, I think we all suffer if one of us suffers and we're not there.
Right. I think what we would like for people in our own churches to understand is that if they are a believer in the Lord Jesus, they have been given a gift, a spiritual gift, that is vital to the rest of the body. So we would say to you, if you're listening to the podcast today and you're sort of on the fence about it, you don't really know, maybe you're a member of a church, maybe you're not really going much, we just want you to know you're a vital part of the body.
That's right.
God gifted you. And you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you who has, as He dwells within you, He brought with Him when He moved into you a gift.
Mm.
And He's given you that gift to exercise and to be able to use. Now, you may not know what that is yet. You may not know how to do that. But one of the places that you're going to find how to operate and how to use that gift is in the body.
That's
you need
right.
to get involved in the body and begin to figure out, where has God put me in this local body? Am I a hand or a foot or a knee or an elbow? What? Mm. How am I supposed to operate? And then start using that.
Yeah.
Now, Michael, let me change directions. You say you're a pastor and you have opportunities like this, but say you're counseling maybe a woman who is a believer and her husband says he is. He claims to be, but he doesn't think church membership or attendance is necessary. She does.
Mm-hmm.
She's growing in her relationship with the Lord, and she's struggling in her relationship with her husband
mm-hmm.
because he's saved, or he says he is, but there's no fruit there of church attendance or church membership. How would you counsel this young woman? Not necessarily the man, but how would you counsel this young woman?
And I have these examples in my church. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And all churches have this kind of scenario. And I think first we need to encourage our our wives and moms to that degree. Don't lose heart. Keep praying.
Yeah.
And as Peter says, you know, continue to, without a word, live your life in such a way that will influence your husband toward these kinds of things. I'm kind of divided in my thinking around this. On the one hand, I wonder how men have perceived the church. I mean, others have long, for a couple of decades now, you know, described to us the feminization of the church and how everything seems to cater to a more feeling, emotional, and guys are just like, whoa, not sure, you know, if I want to, you know, be in the embrace of Jesus' arms. That's and all right. The stuff in our music. And so for some guys are like, you know what, that's not for me. You know, you want to talk about driving a tent peg through, you know, what's his name's temple, then now we're talking about something. Yeah. But it might be that to some degree for some men. But I think on the other hand, you know, it should for us as pastors and church members and everything else to help bring the gospel and its implications to that guy and say, listen, you know, you tell me you belong to Christ and man, you know, we need you in the church. And, you know, this your spiritual life and growth is absolutely dependent upon that. And not just the least of which is to say that the pattern of Christ in the church as the bride and groom, that even your own marriage is somewhat now lopsided because your wife is doing this without you as a spiritual leader, spiritual head. So if you love Christ, look how Christ was an example for us, his bride. And don't you think there's room for you to grow in that way?
Yeah, I think part of the issue then becomes when I do come, all right, you're telling me to come. I'm a man who doesn't really, maybe I'm not all that interested, but you're telling me I need to be there. I need to be a part, that I'm a vital part. Well, then what's expected of me when I get there? Are there expectations of me? Can I come and just sit and listen? I might can do that, but don't ask me to do anything. Are there expectations for a church member? Now, every person that comes to join our church here, Gaston Baptist Church in Boonville, Mississippi, I always tell them two things. I always talk to people and say, okay, I've got two things that I share with everybody, whether they're a child or an adult or whatever. When you come, there are at least a couple of requirements. First of all, in order for you to be a member of this church, you need to be a member of the church, right? Mm-hmm. His body.
Right.
You need to be saved first. Mm-hmm. Do you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Are you part of the family of God?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the first requirement. We don't allow people to join the church here unless they're first saved, right? You have to be a member of his body before you can be a member of this body, right? And then secondly, you need to be baptized, be scripturally baptized. And we'll talk about that in another episode. We'll talk about baptism, why we do it the way we do as Baptists and all that kind of stuff. But we talk to people about being saved and then being baptized. So those are requirements in order to be a member.
Yes.
But the question then becomes, once I become a member, are there expectations of me? And so if you're talking to somebody and they ask you that question, what do you say as a pastor?
So let me go at it with two different prongs of attack, so to speak. The first is to say we need to change the way we conceive of what we're doing with membership. If we're assuming that church membership is no different than, you know, joining a country club or joining a Rotary club or whatever the case may be, and then what's expected of me is I might show up or I might pay my dues or whatever else, and that's it. Well, then we have totally misunderstood the flow of what's happening with the church in the New Testament and expectations of God's people. And listen, the church is not, furthermore, just a service provider. I know we call our worship gatherings a worship service, but it's not like, hey, you know, you just need to come in for your 60-minute tune-up, this kind of thing. It's more than that, just one time a week. So, well, then what is it? Well, the church is, as one writer described it, it's an embassy kind of thing. It's an outpost of the kingdom. So that we're the people of God. Gospel reign means that we're the people of God, a nation of God, regardless of what other nation we're in. We're the embassy of the kingdom, so to speak. And so, man, are there responsibilities for that? You betcha. Now, on a second prong level, it is that when you see the church functioning and the kind of the expectations of people, the Bible talks of it in this way. There are 59 occurrences of one another. And so where do you do the one, what kind of one another's? Well, don't, you know, neglect the assembly of yourselves with one another. Love one another. Bear with one another. Comfort one another. Encourage one another. Show hospitality to one another. We could go on and on and on and on and on. So in the covenant kind of agreement with one another that we belong to the body of Christ, we're connected locally in this particular church, as you mentioned, through salvation in the gospel of Christ and also baptism. Now we're here together. Well, what's expected of me? To show up and to care for and love and watch over one another.
Yeah, there are going to be people in the church family that need you to be there.
Yeah.
That need you to be a part of their life. They need, for whatever reason, they need somebody to serve them. They need encouragement. They need whatever it is that perhaps God has gifted you with the ability to encourage. So you need to be there to help encourage others. So yes. It's a relationship that we share with each other. One of the words right now, it's a byword in church circles and that kind of thing, is community, right?
Right.
Talk a lot about community right now. And, and a lot of churches are using that word as sort of part of their vision or mission, that kind of thing, what they communicate in the community. We're talking about a community of believers. And I like the word, we need to be part of a community. That's a vital component to the early church in the book of Acts.
Yeah.
They did all of what they did together.
That's right.
And we need to be together. It's not some kind of a sit around and sing kumbaya, hold hands, and you know, that kind of thing. And that's what some people think it might be. But we're trying to encourage each other. We're trying to serve each other and love each other, teach each other, help each other grow, so that when we're alone, we know better how to worship. We know better how to serve when we're alone. We know better how to encourage. We know better how to do these things out in public because we're utilizing those gifts corporately as a body.
Yeah. Can I tease out an idea and maybe throw a question at you with what you just said? So community, I agree, is a valuable term. Now, I live in a pretty rural community. So Ripley's about 7,000 people. There's a bunch of churches. Okay. Now I'm looking at the New Testament and you have the church at Ephesus, the church in Jerusalem, the church in Corinth, and I'm assuming kind of an urban, you know, metropolitan area with the church in it. And so they are clinging to one another in a situation that they don't fit in anymore. Now, for you and for me, we live in Mississippi is a highly churched culture.
Right.
Okay. And so community functions in a small town a little different than it would in New York or San Francisco or Atlanta.
That's right.
And so when we talk about community, people, well, I am a part of my community. I went to the Ripley Christmas parade last month. I saw everybody out there. And so community, you know, you kind of explained this to rural church members. I'm like, what are you talking about?
That's right.
I'm a member of
That's
community. Right. But the membership issue for communities like ours might be difficult when we're reading the New Testament because they're dealing with maybe a different context. That membership for them is, okay, yeah, I'm a part of this church in my community, this church in my community, that church, and rather than seeing themselves as a gospel outpost in a city,
right?
You know, to be reaching people for the gospel.
Right. And I think the church has to be about the responsibility of not only ministering within the community, like we talk about, within the body to each other, but it is in the gathering together of the body of Christ and the encouraging and teaching that we're then sent out as a body to minister in the larger community in which we live. So we have a responsibility as the people of God to share the gospel, to take that gospel out into a greater community. So it's not just about what we do in the church building with each other, but then how we prepare each other in the church building to go out of the church building and to do ministry out there. So so church membership is vital on both those issues of what we do here together as a body and then what we do out there in the world as a body.
Yeah, and I think it bears saying, and we've said it in a bunch of different ways, but to boil it down to this sentence, a church is its membership. I mean, Gaston Baptist Church is not the building that we're standing in.
Right.
You know, it is the composition of it is its members.
It is the people.
It's the people. And so, you know, this is, man, we could go on for hours on this discussion. We'll branch off in upcoming episodes to talk about specifics like baptism and a whole host of other church-related issues. But man, we probably need to close it down for this episode. And there's something we usually do in our last segment of the Gospel Rain podcast, and that is one more thing. And this week, we want to do one more thing together, and that is to offer to our listeners the opportunity to get a free book by way of a giveaway from Crossway Publishers. We've been talking about membership, and a friend of mine named Jonathan Lehman. Jonathan and I went to seminary together. He is part of the Nine Marks Ministries. I love this brother dearly. And he wrote a book published by Crossway called Church Membership. And it's a really helpful book that would supplement this discussion really well. So they gave us five copies to give away. We love Crossway, appreciate their ministry to churches and to Christians. And so here's what we're asking you to do by way of one more thing. On our Facebook page and on Twitter and on the website, we're going to post a question related to church membership. And if you'd like to get on any one of those channels and answer and respond to that, you'll be automatically entered in the giveaway. And so, for example, on Facebook, we might say something like, what church are you a member of? How long have you been there? And how are you serving? And you can jump right in and give us an answer, and you'll be automatically entered into the giveaway. And so then randomly, we'll take names out of a hat. We'll let the winners know who they are, and we'll get your information and send you a free copy. Just to say we love you, we appreciate Crossway, and thank you for listening to Gospel Rain in this inaugural month of the podcast. We hope that you've been encouraged in the gospel.
Thank you for joining us for the Gospel Rain podcast. We hope you've been encouraged today, and we pray the gospel will reign in your life this week. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or check out our website at gospelrain.com.